From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Philadelphia has a lot of old buildings. You may have heard of some of them. Independence Hall, Thomas Jefferson's house, the home of Ben Franklin. No one can demolish these buildings. Not that anyone would want to, because they're historically preserved. But there are a lot of lesser-known structures in the city with historical value.
It doesn't have to be something of that scale. It can also be an ordinary row house.
This is Plan Philly reporter Jake Bloomgard.
There was a nomination a year or two ago of this, you know, pretty unremarkable row house off South Street that had been a stop on the Underground Railroad and sheltered a lot of fleeing slaves. And that was added to the local historic register.
That may seem like something everybody wants, but...
Despite the fact that Philadelphia is inarguably one of America's most historic cities, we only preserve a fraction of the buildings that other cities do.
Now, there's an effort to protect more of the city's buildings. So why are some building owners pushing back? And why doesn't Philadelphia do as good a job at historic preservations as other cities? Today on The Why... Saving Philadelphia's historic gems. Mayor Kenney and Councilman Mark Squilla just announced some new policy proposals about historic preservation in Philadelphia, and you attended that meeting. Just tell me about it.
So, yeah, the mayor walked up to the podium.
Good morning, everyone.
And kind of gave a spiel about how, you know, what Philadelphia really has over other cities is our history.
These actions will help preserve what makes Philadelphia unique, our historic assets.
You know, we have all these amazing old buildings that, you know, most of the kind of like cities of a more recent vintage in America, like Phoenix or something, you just don't have.
Yeah, we're not Phoenix.
No,
for sure.
We have more of like an architectural legacy. And he was basically arguing that these policy initiatives would help us to preserve that legacy.
First, we will have an ongoing citywide survey program to fully document our historic resources. We have started to update our current data management system so we can better keep track of this historic information.
So why is the mayor talking about historical preservation right now?
So I would say that a big part of this is Jewelers Row.
Robin's Rocks!
Yeah.
Robin's Rocks!
A couple of years ago, Toll Brothers, which is this massive national developer, they're really well known for their suburban projects. But in recent years, like a lot of developers, they've been moving into urban centers to some degree. And they proposed a tower on Jewelers Row. So Jewelers Row is one of the oldest diamond districts in the country, if not the oldest. A lot of the buildings date back to the 19th century, some even to the 18th century. And there are these kind of like three-story buildings in this kind of neighborhood with a lot of high-rises. And the developer kind of saw an opportunity to develop a condo tower right next to Washington Square, which is, you know, a very desirable place to live. And they've basically run into a buzzsaw of opposition.
In an effort to stop the project, the Preservation Alliance of Greater Philadelphia launched a petition that has gathered thousands of signatures in just a few days.
In many ways, it's kind of been Philadelphia's Penn Station moment. And by that, I mean the New York City preservation movement really took off in the 1960s when they destroyed the beautiful old Penn Station and replaced it with the hellish Warren that we know today.
I've been there.
Yeah, nobody likes it. It really catalyzed historic preservation as a movement in New York City. The Jewelers Row fight attracted a lot of media attention. It got a lot of people focused on the fact that we have such a small number of buildings protected.
What's so special about Jewelers Row?
Jewelers Row holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts, basically because, you know, it's been this diamond district in the city forever. A lot of people, you know, have bought these pieces of jewelry that are, you
their
know,
engagement rings.
Right, or, right. Yes, that have a lot of sentimental value. It was also famously where Silver Linings Playbook culminates and Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper make out. So,
who could forget?
Yeah, who can forget?
You love me?
Yeah, I do.
Very stirring. and it also kind of harkens back to this time when there were these kind of like parts of the city that were kind of these commercial concentrations of particular merchants like Fabric Row, Jewelers Row, that there are not that many of left anymore.
So Toll Brothers wants to come in and build this tower. What's been the response? What's been the reaction?
So I talked to Rich Goldberg.
I am third generation owner and president of Safian and Rudolph Jewelers and the president of the Philadelphia Jewelers Row District.
Which is kind of the merchants association down there.
Really, the businesses and the property owners down here are torn.
He certainly understands that people want to see the old buildings protected, but he also has, you know, understands the other perspective as well.
It is understandable for those property owners. A lot of them fear that if a historic nomination comes over this district, that they then will have their hands tied with what they can do or every little decision with their own property.
They also, you know, say that people shop in a way that's very different from the way they used to, and that kind of commerce has been slowing on Jewelers Row.
So some people feel it might not hurt to have a shot in the arm, more people coming to our district.
So getting a bunch of new wealthy people living in the middle of Jewelers Row might gin up some more business.
More money, more foot traffic. But other people also, respectfully, don't want to lose beautiful old buildings or change the look of current Jewelers Row. You know, that's really the controversy here. Where do you draw the line between saving history but still moving forward?
On the other hand, you have a lot of people who either rent either shops or apartments on Jewelers Row who really don't want to see the rent skyrocket and, in some cases, their buildings be destroyed and, you know, they wind up evicted.
So how does Philadelphia compare to other cities at preserving its old buildings?
Only 2.2 or maybe 2.3% of the buildings in Philadelphia are historically protected. Nationally, the average is about twice that. In cities like Baltimore, Boston, New York, other like really old historic cities, they have much larger percentages of their building stock are protected.
So why doesn't Philadelphia preserve as many of its old buildings as other cities?
So when you talk to some preservation activists like Paul Steinke, who's the head of the Preservation Alliance of Greater Philadelphia, you know, he kind of argues that a big part of this is that there just wasn't that much real estate investment in Philadelphia in the latter half of the 20th century.
That is a legacy of the city's post-war economic decline.
So there just wasn't that much threat to our kind of historic built environment from kind of private actors in the real estate market. The other factor, of course, is that the city just has struggled with budgetary issues for a long time.
And the lack of investment in historic preservation by a cash-strapped city that at the same time probably was slow to recognize its historical and architectural riches outside of the revolutionary era. That its legacy as the workshop of the world is also worthy of understanding and recognition and protection. I think we've been slow to realize that. And in the meantime, we've lost a lot.
So how else did this battle impact the city and the conversation around historic preservation? You said this was our Penn Station moment, right?
Yeah. So right around when this Jewelers Row battle was getting hashed out, we really started to see at around that time also kind of an increase in the number of buildings that were being nominated to the local historic register, which again protects them from demolition. For a long time in between the mid-2000s and kind of about a few years ago, basically maybe one or two buildings would get added a year, just kind of a handful here or there. And some years nothing would get added to the register. And then recently you've been seeing 30, 40 new buildings getting added every year. There's even been some new historic districts getting added. And part of that is there have been a lot of younger activists coming in.
So, you know, when I first got involved in preservation, I filed my first nomination in like early 2015. There were no nominations at all.
And Oscar Beisert is one of them.
That was, you know, when I filed my first one, it was for an endangered building. They said, oh, we need four to have a hearing. And I was like, okay, so I went and wrote three more.
He is notable in that he was really in the beginning of this kind of new wave of preservation activism was responsible for a just staggering proportion of the new nominations. I mean, he must have been, you know, staying up late at night and working on weekends to, you know, be filing all these things.
It was a man on the mission.
Yes.
We still have so many sort of vignettes of old Philadelphia, and it's like an old world that sort of doesn't exist in many other large cities in this country. And so we're throwing that away by not protecting it.
So we're kind of seeing this uptick of historic preservation activism in the city that was, you know, certainly I think catalyzed by Jewelers Row to some extent, and also is just because a lot of like younger people are getting more involved in this fight.
We said earlier in the conversation part of the reason more buildings are being demolished right now is because development is picking up. Are people now complaining that this uptick in historic preservations is going to slow down that development?
Yeah. You know, for my job, I talk to a lot of real estate developers in the city, and, you know, many of them say they have some kind of sympathy for historic preservation, but they worry about the city going overboard with it and erecting more barriers to their industry.
So what's going on with Jewelers Row right now?
It's a little complicated. This fight started in 2016. There was a lot of battles at the Zoning Board, at the Historical Commission, at all these municipal bodies. And Toll Brothers has kind of been sitting on these permits they have and not moving forward. It's been kind of unclear what's going to happen. But we got word in the last week or so that some of the residents in the buildings that they are trying to purchase to knock down and build their tower have received eviction notices. So, again, they did not provide comment on when I asked them about the eviction notices and what that might mean for their project moving forward. But it certainly seems like they are going to move forward, at least with the demolition.
Thank you, Jake.
No problem.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.